one missed tackle or one poor pass can lead to devastation.
Today's guest is an Olympic gold medalist and one of the best rugby sevens players in the world, Charlotte Caslick. In today's episode, she talks about what it's like winning a gold medal at Olympics, women in sport, and buying a farm in Stanthorpe. If you liked today's episode, please subscribe and leave us a review. Enjoy.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You've flown all the way from Vegas to be here. Thank you.
Yes, I have. It was a long 24 hours, but I'm here. I made it.
Like Youngie said, most people drive here.
Yeah.
You've flown here. That's impressive, just to be on the show.
Yeah, we were doing a little Comm Games prep over there, so made the trip to come chat to you guys afterwards.
That's perfect.
Oh, we appreciate it. Thank you.
So in Vegas, what were you doing there? You were doing a pre-Comm Games camp and you played in the US, is that right?
Yeah, so we played the US in 5 exhibition matches alongside the Men's World Series. They're obviously not a Commonwealth nation, so it was good to get some games in against someone that we won't come up against.
Absolutely.
At the Commonwealth Games.
So it's a big year for the sevens, the women's sevens.
Yep.
You got the Commonwealth Games and the World Cup, is that right?
Yeah.
So obviously they're both big tournaments. Which one means the most to you guys?
Yeah, do you have a priority?
I guess in most traditional rugby people's minds, it would be the World Cup because that means so much to them. But for our team, it's probably the Commonwealth Games purely because it's on home soil. There's so many of us that are Queenslanders as well. So to be able to play at the Gold Coast in front of an Australian crowd will be incredible.
That's massive.
With that said, how exciting it is being on Australian home soil, do you think there's an added pressure as a result of that?
Yeah, I guess so. I think some of us thrive under the pressure, so I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing for our team, but there definitely is that added pressure and everyone wants to play good at home and your family's there watching
and everyone's there
cheering you on. So it's more the fear of disappointing them, I think, than anything else.
I guess it's super exciting that the Sevens is now at the Olympics, at the Commonwealth Games.
Yeah.
And you guys obviously did really, really well at the Rio Olympics, which we'll talk about later. But I think we'll bring it back to sort of where you're born in Brisbane. You're from Brisbane, is that right?
Yep, Brizzy, born and bred.
Whereabouts is it? Corinda?
Corinda,
South
yeah.
Side. What up?
South Side.
The north side, mate.
I'm north. I'm a north. I'm
you're
born in Swamba.
Yeah.
But South, when I moved to Brisbane, it was north side, unfortunately. So we have a bit of a rivalry already.
Yeah.
It's good to see.
So what was living in the south side like in Brisbane? Paint us a picture of what that looked like.
So I went to Sherwood State School, which was, I don't know, I kind of grew up there the whole time.
So it's normal.
It's just been normal, yeah.
Like, it's not like we're like
I don't really
sitting on our high horse. Like north side's bad, I know. It's equal, we're equal.
Yeah, I know like Boz is from Toowoomba, so you would have done hunting and gathering.
Live off the land.
Things like
off
that.
The land.
I'm assuming it's a little bit different. You would have had a suburban lifestyle, gone out to friends' houses, that kind of thing, or played sport.
Yeah, I've played a lot of sport. I have two older brothers, so they started playing rugby at Taylor Bridge, which is just down the road from where we live. Uh-huh. Spent a lot of Friday nights there. It was also where I played hockey.
Oh, hockey as well.
Yep. And then touch footy. So I guess playing sport, though, growing up, I did travel around Brizzy a fair bit.
Yeah, you tend to do that, don't
you?
Yeah.
One thing I find interesting and love to get your thoughts on it was, like, when you were growing up, were you a big rugby person or you like because you the sevens wasn't a thing then, was it?
Yeah, no, I didn't play rugby growing up.
Okay.
My dad was a leaguey and my oldest brother Sam wanted to play Darren Lockyer's sport, so they took him down to rugby league, wouldn't get out of the car. Then he ended up playing rugby union because that's where all his school friends went and played, so I guess my family kind of got involved with rugby union that way. So I'd been around it a lot. Like I spent so many Friday nights at rugby training, Saturday and Sundays, watching my brothers play.
Is that your older brother? You have a few brothers?
Yeah, two older brothers.
Okay.
But never, ever did I think I'd be playing rugby as well.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
So how did you get into rugby sevens? Like what's the progression there?
And
rugby in general, I guess.
I played touch football. So I started that when I was about 8.
Okay.
And then played for Australia in touch when I was 16 in the Women's Open.
In the Opens?
Yeah. So
you were a gun?
Yeah. I couldn't tackle. No, I was actually really bad at tackling. And then I guess touch didn't have as many opportunities as rugby, and I got a letter in the mail asking me to come to a rugby camp. And then it was paid for, so that was pretty awesome to start with. I was like, hell yeah, I'm there.
Yeah, right.
And then I had girls that were about 90 kilos that were pushing me over. And
you were small?
And I was pretty tiny, so I didn't think it was for me for a while, and I kind of had to be quite heavily convinced to stick it out and learn how to tackle.
Which you've obviously done.
Comprehensively.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, how did you get into sevens then? Like, why did you lean, you mentioned you played hockey, for instance. Why did you lean towards the sevens as opposed to other sports?
Yeah, so I did athletics as well. Like, I did touch, hockey, athletics, cross country, all that growing up. And I think my dad, he thinks it's this one time we were playing, I went to Brisbane-State High School. So we're a bit kind of the battler school in the QG SSSA system. and we're playing St Aidan's, and I was 13 playing in the Opens and helped our team win, and it was just exciting that we beat St Aidan's, I don't know.
Yeah.
That was kind of like one of the changing moments of my short career at that stage that I really wanted to make touch my priority, I guess. It was something that I loved and I was good at, and
you're getting excitement out of it. Okay, so were you good at what other sports were you good at? You know, you mentioned like cross country and that. Were you excelling at these other like athletics and as well?
My athletics career peaked when I was 12. I was national 800 meter champion.
Really?
There you go.
A 12.
10, 11, 12.
Wow.
And then bloody I got up. To.
I probably couldn't run that now.
I certainly can't.
Yeah.
You were like. That's the thing in the sport you play now. It's more that high intensity, isn't it? Sprint, tackle.
Yeah,
and you have subs as well. So it's like, I don't know what sort of rotations you guys do.
Yeah, five really. Subs and seven. So there's five people on the bench. So if you want to use your whole bench, you can't go back on and off.
Ah, okay.
But if there is an injury, say in the tournament, you can use some players to come off and then go back on the field. But I think my athletics background definitely has helped. With my sevens, yeah, like it's quite a similar aerobic base that you've got to have for sevens, and that fast but relatively long. It's only 14 minutes.
Yeah, but the thing is, in a day, you guys play more than one game.
Yeah, three games a day usually. Yeah,
so that would be tough on the body.
Yeah, I think mentally it's probably tougher because you've got to get up for one game in the morning, and then you have about 3 hours off, and then get up for another game. Yeah, have another 3 hours off and then go again. So it's kind of you got to ride that adrenaline rush a little bit.
Yeah, really interesting dynamic because, you know, in football we play one game and then maybe during the week we'll have another game. But you've got to either get over disappointment or ride the success of a victory in one day a couple times through.
It's like a mental roller coaster.
Yeah, and sevens is probably one of those sports where the bounce of the ball can make such a difference, and one missed tackle or one poor pass can lead to devastation, I guess, for some of the teams.
So I'm assuming it being a high contact sport, you can have like corks, knocks, etc., get one in the first game, and then you'd be carrying injuries into the other games?
Yeah, you can get bumps and bruises, I guess, whenever and
got to carry on.
Yeah, so that's probably hard to warming back up after you've had, if you do get a big cork and
during a game, it's that adrenaline that gets you through that cork.
And then you get cold and that would be tough.
Yeah, backing up from a knee in your thigh or something like that, and you got to sprint. And, yeah, absolutely.
So then you went to Brisbane State High. Were you much of an academic, would you say?
No.
I love the honesty. Really. Yeah. Honesty is everything.
Nah, not really.
I'm the same. Don't worry. Young is the only academic here.
Yeah, I can't say I liked school. Like, I loved going to school and hanging out with my friends.
Yeah.
I loved playing sport and I liked class, hanging out with my friends in class. But I can't say I spent too much time on homework.
Were you, so at this period of time, were you playing rugby a lot?
No, I only started playing rugby when I was about 16, 17. Yeah. So back end. I'm not sure what I was falling back on when I wasn't concentrating in class.
Deep down you knew that rugby was going to be a thing and you were going to make it. You knew somehow.
Yeah.
So how old are you now? 22?
22. 23 on Friday.
So, interesting. So in reality, like it's been a short-ish career for you. You've started late, you would say?
Yeah, I think... The whole group of girls in the squad at the moment, we probably all started rugby late, but since Rio, the amount of opportunity that younger girls now have has just increased dramatically.
You've got
girls playing from, obviously they can play from 6 to 12 with the boys, but after that there was no girls footy, so now there is opportunity for them to play from under 12s, 14s, 16s.
That's a good point you mentioned as well. Growing up, you know, we had role models to look up to in our sport. And, you know, we wanted to play like them, wanted to be like them. It wouldn't have been the same necessarily for you growing up, whereas, you know, you'll be a role model for girls now. But did you have a role model growing up?
I looked up to Kathy Freeman.
Yes, okay.
When I was doing athletics.
Yeah.
I loved the Hockey Roos as well when I was playing hockey, obviously. I had a few little touch role models. I think probably my first rugby sort of sport role model would probably be Jonathan Thurston. I've loved watching him play, and if I could do anything like he's done, it'd be pretty awesome.
That's I think that's a great thing, and how sport's progressing, and especially female sport. Every single code, same with the Matildas.
Seem to be evolving. But at that time back in GPS, you're just starting to get involved in touch. What was the state of sevens at that time?
I hadn't really heard of it. Like, there was a men's series going around, but I think there was a World Cup for the women in 2009, so I would have been 14 then, but didn't really know about it, didn't watch it or anything. So, there wasn't really a whole lot to do, and there wasn't many club tournaments to play. So when I did start playing, it was very fast tracked from I've never made a tackle before to you're representing Australia.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you still can't tackle.
But it's funny you mention that.
Wow.
Because there is a tackle against USA at the Rio Olympics that's gone absolute viral on YouTube.
Yeah, it has.
So you can obviously tackle.
And you've learned to do that quite well.
Yeah, so when did you learn to tackle?
I actually, myself and Alicia Quirk, she plays outside me in the backs. We kept getting told that we wouldn't be picked until we could tackle.
Okay.
So we spent a lot of time together down at Ballymore. Actually, there's a, I don't know if it's still there, there was a sandpit at one of the back
rooms.
Near the shed gym.
Near the shed, yeah.
Yeah. We spent a lot of time in that sandpit tackling each other.
Really?
Yeah.
There you go. Well, hey, it's paid dividends. No one watching to millions of people watching now on YouTube, that tackle. That's a great little story in itself, isn't it?
I think like the people we've had on the past have all had little takeaways that people who listen can take away from it. And like you've just demonstrated how you've had a deficiency in your skill set. You've gone away and addressed it, put the hard work in, and now you've produced a tackle that people recognise. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, I think when I first started playing rugby, like, I was obviously good at passing and my agility and all that was really good from touch, and I'd spend hours passing. Like, I'd go out and pass the footy around all the time, but I was so reluctant to go practice to how to tackle. So I think, like, once I really thought about it, I was like, well, you've got to actually work on your weaknesses.
Good takeaway to have there.
So going into Rio Olympics, how did you guys, what was your mind, the team's mindset heading in? Did you guys know you were going to win? Is that the plan? You're going to go for number one?
Yeah, definitely. I think everyone probably goes there thinking they're going to win. I think for the last 4 years, we probably thought we were going to win. So for it to actually come true was pretty amazing. We were world champions that year leading into it. We were the first team other than New Zealand to win a world championship. So that was pretty exciting.
Wow.
That was leading into it. So I guess we kind of had the pressure on us as well, going in as favourites.
So expectation was there.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
The element of expectation there.
Yeah, but we prepared so well. I think that's what it came down to. Our preparation was just so awesome that every single one of us knew what was going to happen out there, and just all
about
seemed to
executing
work.
Sort of
yeah.
thing.
It's become like an iconic moment in Australian sport, I reckon, when you guys won the gold. I remember seeing it on TV,
absolutely.
Having goosebumps. Just you could feel this like energy within the team, like a camaraderie, and it was like it just felt really Australian, and it was like a really special moment. Yeah. I think, and it galvanized the country in a way as well.
Yeah.
It really did. Like, and it's put
because that was the first year Sevens was in the Olympics, wasn't it?
Yeah,
yeah,
that's right.
There you go.
So it's a really, really good story. And it would have, I'm assuming it would have been a really like great moment for you in your career. Would you say it would be the highlight?
Yeah,
or?
Definitely the highlight so far.
So that's the crazy thing is that 16, there's no real sevens at all. And then fast forward to 2016, you're going to an Olympics, which is amazing, I think. And then you're winning a gold there. I mean, I think that just shows a huge sort of development or evolution of the game and obviously your story as well.
Yeah, no, it was pretty awesome, I guess. I've played touch footy with some of those girls since we were 12.
Yeah.
So that probably did show out there on the field that we've been through so much together. So many of us had moved from different places around Australia. I was 18 when I moved out and lived with some of the girls who were 21 at the time. They helped me out so much. So I guess we definitely had that family within our own team, and we had to rely on each other so much that it made it even more special when we got to finally perform and get what we were all dreaming for.
Definitely, because then your tournament finished quite early, didn't it? Early on in the Olympics, sort of the month of what it is. So you guys got to hang around the Olympic Village and hang out with some pretty cool people. Is that right?
Yeah, it was awesome. Last day was day three, so we played the first 3 days, and then we were done.
How good is that? You're like in, out, and then I'm just going to enjoy
this job
thing.
Done. Got the gold. Now it's going to feed up, relax, enjoy the village.
Yeah, talk us about that. That's incredible.
Yeah, it was awesome. I guess we were pretty just stoked to be there in the first place. Like first one, we were just getting around everyone. You get to have brekkie with people like Patty Mills and. They were just so cool, like you wouldn't expect.
Yeah.
They obviously come from the NBA.
NBA.
Yeah. I was like, I hope I got that right.
it's both
and
a thing.
Back to being surrounded by people like us, it was just surreal to see them. And then, we saw Rafa about four times getting onto his bus.
Like,
we finally got to watch him play. We snuck in.
No. Right. What was he like? Did you have a convo?
No,
with
we didn't have a convo. He was like behind a gate.
Yeah. And that counts.
But
you would have seen his left bicep.
Yeah.
That's it. Not the right. I can't do the right. And then did you go get to many other events to support the Aussies?
Yeah, we went to the swimming, which was really cool. We went to the water polo a fair bit, which was awesome. Those girls are
freak.
It's like
that's a contact sport.
Yeah, it's a contact sport. Like we watched them, we're like, holy shit, like we don't want to be playing that sport.
it's hidden, it's under the water.
Yeah.
Like,
who knows what goes under there?
Actually, kidney punches going
on. Like one girl got a broken cheekbone, like it was intense. But we
I could never do that sport.
Wow,
I can't swim. And I'm tall, my feet will probably touch the bottom. No, they wouldn't. They wouldn't, but, like, it is such a hard sport. Like, I've watched it on TV, and you just, like, really appreciate it.
They're big people as well, aren't they?
Like, yeah, they can move. Like, yeah, they were amazing. So we enjoyed watching that. That was really cool. I'm trying to think what other cool sports
we saw a lot on TV.
We did go to the basketball. Mm. We've sort of felt like we became like a bad omen for people. We kept coming and they were coming forth like constantly. So then we stayed
home. Your glory
wasn't
rubbing
off. So then we did stay home and watched a few as well on the TV. Because it was quite exhausting when you were like rushing around the village,
getting on buses
and you'd have to walk so far sometimes in Rio. So yeah, it was just exhausting, but so worth it.
Great time in your life, so early on as well. That's incredible.
Yeah, so on the back of all that success, there was more personal accolades come from yourself when you won the Australian Sevens Player of the Year.
Yep.
Is that right? was that after the Olympics?
Yes.
So that would have been a pretty special moment for
you. That was cool. And we have a Players Player that year as well, which I won. So that one probably means even more than the others. But, it's nice to get recognised, I guess. But it's definitely a team sport and you can't do much without the girls outside you finishing off or setting you up.
It is a great story.
Like, absolute meteoric rise.
Yeah, like that's all I can think is like from 16 really when you started the sport to 22. It's not like that big. And then think about how much left you have like in your career.
Yeah.
What's next? How
do you think like these achievements, both team and individual, have impacted your life? Has there been a change in your life as a result?
I think winning a gold medal definitely changed my life in some aspects. And I think it changed women's sport a little bit as well. Not that we take all the credit for what's happening in women's sport. Like, there's so many amazing things going on right now. Mm. But it kind of did feel like after that time there was just so much momentum growing within Australia. And we just kind of came around at the exact right time to help it along the way. And so I think if I looked back on my career in 10 years' time, it would definitely be like the impact that we've had for future girls and the opportunities that they will have when they're growing up that we necessarily didn't.
Yeah, and that's a really good point. And obviously with these achievements that you've had, sort of rewinding slightly back to when you left school, for instance, with Bolsey and I, we were lucky. You leave school, you find a club, they start paying you money. You know, is that a similar thing for yourself? Did you have a club to go to, or was it straight to the ARU? And what was the, I don't know if you can talk about it, what was the pay like in relation to all of that?
Yeah, so when I first moved to Sydney, it was the first year that we were a centralised program. So we were one of the first women's sporting teams to become a full-time professional outfit. And I think leading into Rio, the ARU needed to do that for us to ultimately win the gold medal, which we did do. But moving to Sydney, where I was living out of home for the first time, our salaries range from about $10,000 to $20,000.
Just shows you, doesn't it?
And you're living in Sydney, expensive place to live as well.
So that was our contracted salary. And then we also got government funding from the AIS as well. Sure. So our DAS money, which was a massive help.
Absolutely.
But it was still obviously hard.
Of course.
But to see how far it's come since then is so cool in such a short period of time.
So has it gotten to a point now where all you girls are like full-time?
Yep. So we're all full-time living in Sydney.
Great. And then no one needs part-time jobs outside of the game, etc. So
yeah, not anymore. So back then some of the girls were still working part-time or our parents were helping us out if we needed it. But now everyone can completely focus on rugby and
put
all the energy into it. Obviously, some are still studying and have other things outside of rugby. A few have even finished their degrees. But we can completely put all our energy into rugby.
Well, it's going to, in reality, it's going to bring more success to the program.
More attention.
More interest. It's going to give girls a reason to progress in the game and want to take it up at an early age because they know there's a clear pathway for them if they do that.
Correct. And become idols for the people beneath them as well.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
After them.
And on another note, you're dating Lewis Holland.
That's right. No personal.
He's the captain of the men's team, hey, as well.
Yeah.
That's right. So do you guys buy a farm in Stanthorpe?
Yeah, we did.
That's awesome. So I know Stanthorpe. I've been to Stanthorpe a few times.
Yeah.
Stanthorpe. So what, is that, do you guys see that as, a getaway for you guys, somewhere we can, what's the sort of thinking on that?
Yeah, it's probably our life after rugby plan. Lewis grew up in Braidwood, which is a town between Canberra and the coast. So it's quite a small town down there. And his grandparents were cattle farmers. So he's obviously still interested in it. And my dad grew up in Stanthorpe. So we've still got family out there. And I want to stay in Queensland. So,
It's like
it's on the border. So it's kind of close to both. Yeah. But we're definitely
seeing cattle and stuff there.
Yeah, so we've got 40 Angus heifers on there at the moment.
Oh, really?
About to have babies. Yeah.
So is it you've bought acreage?
Yeah.
And there's a house there?
No house. Just land.
Is there a plan to put a house there in the future?
Hopefully sometime soon.
That's cool. Hey, that's
We'll just get the cows going at the moment.
Live off the land. It's a dream.
To walk away. Oh, I love it.
Living the dream.
So good. That's awesome.
So I guess we're looking forward now to the Commonwealth Games, which is very, very close.
Yeah.
Would you say there's a lot of expectation for you guys to do well?
Yeah, I think so. I guess even self-expectation as a group, okay. We'll definitely be hoping that we perform really well there. New Zealand will definitely be coming out firing. They were clearly disappointed after Rio, as you would be, and they're just an incredible team. So it's almost like a home tournament for them as well. I'm sure they'll have lots of support.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, it's going to be, it'll be tough, but it's going to be so much fun. And hopefully if we just have fun while we're playing, it'll work out.
Sure. I personally like the word that you use, that we're looking to perform. You know, I think obviously, what I'm studying in my PhD, a lot of athletes focus on the outcome, but you've touched on the process, which is we're looking for that performance thing. So I think that's a really great approach that you've got towards that, because obviously if you fixate on the outcome, then you're putting that so much more pressure on yourself. So that's a great way to look at it.
I guess like if we play awesome and someone happens to be better, at least you know that you've
done
all you can, and they were just better on the day. So if we can get our processes right and be clinical in the way that we do things out there,
is it
of itself.
Do you talk about these kinds of things as a group, or is it something that you've adopted yourself personally?
No, we do talk about it as a group as well. Our coach Tim Walsh is definitely a big believer in preparation and making sure you do everything right before you get out there. Sevens is so unpredictable that you can't really, if you can, control everything that
Same
you can
like
possibly.
The bounce of the ball.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
short game.
Yeah, you just got to be able to control as much as you possibly can yourself, and then they've always got to be prepared for those little unpredictable things that are definitely going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where are you guys playing your games?
At Robina Stadium.
Yeah. Oh, Seabus.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. That's exciting. Well, you guys had a tournament there not long ago?
Yeah, the World Series used to be there, so we played a few exhibition games there during the Men's World Series.
So who's the big nations that you got? New Zealand, Canada?
New Zealand, Canada, Fiji, England. It's almost the...
So it's good good. Yeah, absolutely.
Top five World Series teams are probably all going to be there. Minus the US. So it's
pretty interesting.
Yeah, good
competition. Which you guys have just played, so you've had a really good lead in that you've played the US. Mm.
They're a strong physical team, so
yeah, right.
They're kind of a good one to
I know
get
the men's,
some games in.
The men's USA team, they've got that sprinter who he couldn't make it as a sprinter, but yeah, he's just rapido on the rugby field. Have you seen him play live? What's that like watching that?
Perry Baker, he's awesome. They've got two. They've got Perry Baker and then Carl and Isles, and
ex-sprinters.
Yeah, they're extremely fast. But Perry Baker has actually become a really good rugby player as well. Like, he's not just fast. Like, he's got incredible aerial skills.
Okay.
And he can actually read the game pretty well. So Mike Friday, their coach, has done an incredible job of getting him to become a rugby player. Like, if you watch him play, he gets a bit of stick for just being fast, but he's actually quite a complete player. Yeah,
wow. That's awesome. I just remember watching a video; it went viral. He's mate, picked the ball like up, and he's
Gonzalez.
Just gone right, like just head to the sideline,
like under 12.
Head to the sideline, and he's gone. Yeah. And no one's catching him. Like, that's truly incredible.
Something out of Forrest Gump, wasn't it?
Just a run, Forrest.
Just kept running, like, the whole way. Roadrunner. Before we get into that, I suppose we can't touch on it, but most of the athletes that we've spoken with in the past have all had a period of times where it was difficult for them and they had to develop resilience. Have you had any of those times? Or if you haven't, is there anything that you practice that has helped you achieve success in concepts at all?
I've been pretty lucky with, like, on the injury front. I haven't had any incredibly serious injuries, but my boyfriend Lewis has. So he's missed probably, since I've been with him, almost two full seasons due to injury.
Wow.
So he got injured in the Olympics.
Yeah.
Wow. And then he snapped his Achilles not long after that.
Oh.
So he's kind of, although I haven't lived the experiences
living
myself, like, I've kind of shared those experiences with him, and he's probably taught me a fair bit about resilience and just enjoying the moment. And I know, like, after we won our first World Series, it was 2013 in Dubai, we came from behind to beat New Zealand, and it was like, I don't even think we didn't think we were going to win. Like, it was kind of like, yeah, those, oh God, like, we're in the front now. Like, don't know how this has happened, but it's happening. And he sent me a message afterwards saying, like, oh, you better enjoy this one. Like, cups don't, we call them cup finals. So, yeah, he's like, the cups don't come around that often. He had never won one until Sydney this year.
Wow.
So he'd been playing for, I think, 7 years before he won one. So after Dubai, I did go on to win a fair few more. But I think he kind of taught me to enjoy those moments that you are being successful, because there was a period where we kind of were at the top and we were just so serious about it. Like, we'd win, we wouldn't celebrate our wins. We'd just be like, oh, we've got a tournament in 4 weeks.
That's
like,
normal.
We're preparing for that
going.
One. Like, that's just normal. But then that's, you start losing and you're kind of like, oh, like, bugger, I should have been. Yeah, you're like, why didn't I celebrate the times that were good? And like, now we're sitting around celebrating coming, like, losing, and it's definitely
it's
a bit bitter.
Yeah,
like, enjoying the moment and
enjoying the wins.
Enjoying, like, you deserve to celebrate when you win.
Course.
Like, it's an awesome achievement, and
absolutely
enjoy the experience together.
Yeah, to be like, you work so hard together, so just enjoy them.
I agree.
That's a great takeaway.
Definitely.
Yeah.
We're going to go into a segment now called Extra Time.
Extra Time.
Okay, so it's sort of like quick fire questions.
Yeah.
And you can just sort of give us a, I guess, one sentence sort of answer.
It's very intense, very deep.
Yeah, very deep question. Okay, are you ready?
I'm ready.
First question. What's your passions outside of rugby?
Outside of rugby, I'd probably have to say my cows now. I love my cows. But I'm also pretty passionate about trying to help Indigenous kids in Australia get more involved with rugby sevens. I know it's still rugby, but there's so many missed opportunities that rugby isn't taking at the moment that other sports are taking, that I think we as an association could do better, and I'd love to try and help lead that front.
Awesome.
Fantastic.
Cats or dogs?
Dogs.
Why?
They're just better. I don't know. Like, I
love it.
Cats are cranky.
It's so funny. Everyone says that, I reckon.
Do you like my missus? She loves a dash hound. I don't know why. Do you like a dash hound, or you like a Labrador or a Shepherd?
We've got a Staffy.
Okay.
Yeah, a little blue Staffy.
Okay.
So I love her. She's the best.
Okay.
Flat white or cappuccino?
I don't drink coffee.
Oh my God.
Tea?
Yeah. Oh, green tea every now and then.
Okay.
So how do you get up in the morning? 20.
Full of energy.
Don't worry. Yeah. I'll get kicked out of it.
Favorite breakfast?
Probably Weet-Bix with honey.
How many do you do?
Bradley.
Three. But then I have
three-pack
snacks later.
That's solid.
Soon after.
Okay.
Favorite TV series?
Oh, God, that's a hard one. I go through phases. I love Sons of Anarchy. Friday Night Lights.
Friday You've watched Lights. Them all?
Yeah. Friday Night Lights, I've
that's
definitely
old,
loved
that's a classic.
Friday Night Lights.
I've watched that too. It's an all-time
classic.
And then
like Gossip Girl, One Tree Hill. I don't know. There's so many that I've watched on repeat.
Oh, yeah. Repeat loop.
Netflix or Foxtel?
Well, we went through a phase where we couldn't afford Foxtel. So
pirate.
We had Netflix.
It's pirate.
So we're still on the Netflix, yeah.
Nice. I agree.
Apple or Samsung?
Apple.
Yeah.
Apple fam.
Apple.
We've spoken about favourite career highlight.
Yeah, Rio.
Rio. Apart from the cattle, what are you obsessed with right now?
Obsessed with... I am quite obsessive sometimes, but cooking fever... On my phone, have you played it?
No. Is it like an app?
It's a game. A cooking game. It's so
it
much
sounds
fun.
Good. I'm going to download it.
You'll get addicted.
So you have to do, like, it gets quicker, yeah? You have to cook.
Yeah, so you can buy restaurants, and the first one's cooking, like, hot dogs and hamburgers, fries.
Okay.
You give them to your customers. And
no way.
I love it. I've actually played one very similar. It could be that one. And I was addicted to it for 2 days and I had to delete it.
Like,
this is scary.
I know. Some girls in our team have been spending money buying drinks on it so they can get more restaurants.
That's the best. That's the best.
Like, can I go get real food or can I go make some on the game?
Hey, I would pick the game. Always pick the game.
That's brilliant.
Last one. What's Charlotte doing in 20 years?
In 20 years. What will I be? 40, almost 43.
It's tough.
Not playing rugby, that's for sure.
You're in Stantham on the farm.
Being in Stantham on the farm. Hopefully I've got some little kids that are playing sport. I'll be one of those diehard mums on the sideline.
Oh,
run.
Yeah. No, I'd love to have like a rugby academy, I guess. And hopefully out in Northern Territory somewhere.
Okay.
I love it.
Yeah. Do something like that. I'd love to. Or even just in the bush somewhere with getting country kids involved. Perfect. So they choose rugby union over league.
Yeah. Country
element.
I like that. Well, that's a wrap.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us, Charlotte. It's been an absolute pleasure to hear your story, and best of luck for the Commonwealth Games.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. I think we've all enjoyed it. Fantastic.
Thank you. Bye. Thanks for listening, guys. And if you liked today's episode, please subscribe and leave us a review.